Good evening. It's a joy to be able to assemble with those of like precious faith and those who may be visiting with us for the first time, to have this opportunity to worship together, to study a lesson from God's Word. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad that you're here. If you're from out of town, please take note of our location, the times of our services. And any time you're passing through, we'd love to have you stop and worship with us again. If you're from the immediate community, we would love to have you become a part of the work here at Somerville Road as we strive to do the Lord's work in this location. You know, there's a lot of things that man has been infatuated through the years, and I guess one of the things that we find that man has been infatuated with is that he is one who is interested in mirrors, seeing himself, being willing to look and see what he looks like and his appearance at various times. And so we find ourselves looking into mirrors almost on a daily basis. Usually several times we find ourselves looking into a mirror. Man, through the ages, probably began by looking at clear streams of water and the reflection of his face from that to be able to see what he looked like. As time progressed, probably looked at polished metal, maybe glass, to see their physical body's reflection whenever they had that opportunity. We see mirrors today that show us our bodies. God made a mirror that reflects the soul of man, that reflects the inward part of man, his thoughts, his intents. And so that's a different kind of mirror. That's a mirror that would be important for us to consider and realize its importance, because it shows what is right and what needs to be changed in our lives. As we look at the mirror of the soul, we find it mentioned in James, the first chapter, that Elijah just read a few moments ago. In verses 22 and 24 especially, the admonition is this: be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. The mirrors that mankind would make usually have imperfections in them. Sometimes they're on purpose, as we see those in carnivals and things that you stand in front of and they make you look all distorted and various things. That's on purpose. But God's mirror is His Word. It is the mirror of the soul. And when we're willing to look into that, to His Word, that reveals our soul and our thinking and what is within us. That mirror is not distorted. It is pure. It is clear. It is exact. In other words, it is perfect for its purpose. Notice verse 25 of James 1. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What is the purpose of this mirror? The purpose of a mirror is to tell it like it is, whether it's good or bad, whether your face is dirty or clean, whether your lipstick's on straight or not, whether or not your hair needs combing or not. Whatever it does, it tells it just like it is. Shows the good with the bad. You frown, it frowns back. You smile, and the same happiness is enjoyed in its reflection. We give importance to what we see in a mirror. Sometimes that mirror does not always reflect a pleasing image. Sometimes when we look into the mirror, we don't like what we see. And because of that, we will find ourselves, as we continue our study, to try to make changes to that that we do not like as we look at ourselves in this mirror. If correction is needed, we need to make that correction. The correction is not with the mirror. The correction is with you and me, if there's a correction that needs to be made. So let's look at God's mirror of the soul. It's His Word. And as we read that Word, it searches within man his thoughts and his intents and his desires. And as we read that, we see what it should be. And it reflects. And it tells us if we're as we should be. What this mirror tells us, as I said, is not always a pleasing picture. Just looking into the Lord's mirror does not change us. Just because I open and read its pages does not mean that I am changed or that I have changed. The change we must do is to do what He says. Our text says we are to be a doer of that work. We are to be a doer of that which He tells us to do in that mirror that we're looking at, that mirror of the soul. God's Word reveals many things to us when we began to look into it. It reflects our origin. In Genesis, the first chapter, and the closing verses and the beginning verses of the second chapter, we have it revealed to us that God created man. He made man out of the dust of the earth. We are His creation, and He breathed into man the breath of life. He also created woman by taking a rib from the side of the man and made her as well. And so when we look into that book, that mirror of God, it reflects to us our origin, that we are the handiwork of God. We can clearly see by looking into that mirror that we are not a monkey. That we are not an ape, but we are a special creation of God. It also reveals to us our doings. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19, "The works of the flesh, they are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." If those things are in our lives and we see what the mirror tells us about that, we need to make some kind of change. We need to make sure that those things are removed, that those things are forgiven in our lives. And so when we look into the Word of God, it also shows the things that we need. In Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, we're told, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." Or in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." We have a need to make changes in our life. And that mirror of God shows us the things that need to be removed so that we will appear to Him in a way that is pleasing as we look into His book, The Mirror of the Soul. This mirror of the soul, God's Word, also can reveal to us our destiny. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 28, we read, "Do not be marveled at this time, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." It also indicates we need to take a good look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves, the Scripture says, in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? When I look into the mirror, or you look into the mirror, a glass mirror, and you see things that you don't like that make you unhappy, do you get mad at the mirror? That makes no change. That will not help whatsoever. And so when we look into the mirror of God's Word, as we look at our lives in comparison to what that mirror of our soul tells us, do we get mad at God? Do we get mad at the Bible, His Word, because of what it reveals to us? Why do God's people and others get mad at God's mirror when they read within it things that are in their lives that should not be there and that will cause them to be different from the world that is around them and that will cause them to suffer, that will cause them to lose friendships and relationships? When people look into God's mirror, many times they get mad because they do not want to change those relationships. They do not want to stop those actions and those things that are of value. It shows the atheist that he is a fool. No wonder the atheist hates the Bible. It says in Psalms 14 and verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, when an atheist reads that, if he's going to be true to his belief, then he's going to get mad at that that tells him he's a fool for what he believes. And so we see that men often get mad at God's Word and what He says. It shows the disobedient that they are sinners, that they are separated from God and in danger of eternal punishment. It says that one must obey the gospel. The commission that Jesus gave in Mark the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 15, He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned." When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in his first letter in chapter 1, he makes the point in verses 7 through 9 that the time is going to come when the Lord will come with His angels in flaming fire, and He's going to render vengeance upon those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel. Here is a very clear indication in God's mirror that we need to put our lives in front of and examine ourselves. Have we obeyed the gospel? Have we done what He tells us to do in order to be saved, to have our sins washed away? And so it tells us that God expects us to obey the gospel in order that our sins might be forgiven. The Christian may get mad at God's mirror when he or sees Titus 2 and verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." There are people who do not want to live godly, who do not want to live in a way of good judgment, who do not want to remove the worldly lust from their lives, and they're dedicated to a life that adores those things and participates in those things. And so when he reads in God's Word that God says you've got to do away with those things, that you cannot do those things and be pleasing in His sight, then they become mad at God's word for taking away their style of life. Or people get mad at God's word when they read in this mirror of the soul, Matthew 19 and verse 9. And I say unto you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. The world in which we live award divorces for just about any cause that man wants, and does not follow God's law. And so when people who have been divorced and remarried for reasons other than God has given, they become mad at God's word, at God's mirror, when they look into their lives, and they look into their actions and to their relationships, and they see that it is a relationship that is not condoned by God, that is not pleasing in His sight, and they are guilty of sin. And so they become angry at the mirror, at God's word, rather than making the change in their life. They may become mad or upset at the mirror of God when they look at 1 Corinthians 16 and in verse 2, when it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores, God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Those who may love material possessions and money want to keep it for themselves and use it in a way that is for their selfish desires. And they don't want to give it unto the Lord. They don't want to lay by in store. They want to determine that they're going to give so much unto the Lord each week. They want to keep it for themselves, and they do not give. As a result of that, when they read that the Lord says that they need to be doing that, they become upset when the Lord tells that they need to sacrifice of their goods for the cause of the Lord. Some people become upset at the mirror of God's word when they read Hebrews 10 and verse 25, when he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There are a lot of people who do not want to hear that passage. You drive by the golf courses on Sunday. You drive by the parks. You drive through the neighborhoods. You drive through the mall and through the various places. And you see that there are people who are forsaking the assembly of the Lord, who are showing no interest in assembling on the first day of the week, as God's word says that we should do, and that we're not to forsake that. And so when they read that in God's word, they become angry at God's word, God's mirror. They don't like what it says. And so they're going to turn away from it. Or when he or she sees 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, we find this passage. He says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly things. God's word says that one must dress in modest apparel, women especially. And they're not to be gaudy in their appearance as well. The inward beauty is what God sees. And when they look into God's word, the mirror, and see that it tells them that they can't wear the latest fashions of the day, that are short and skimpy, that are advertised as being that which is alluring, that which is sexy, that which is revealing. And they don't like that because they want to wear that kind of clothing because everybody else is. That's the fashion. And so they become angry at the Word of God who tells them that they can't do that. That God doesn't want His children to appear in such an apparel. Remember, we must not get mad at God's mirror. Don't get mad at His Word. Proper use of God's mirror is important. God's mirror should be used obediently. The text says that's a doer. A doer of the work. A doer of what he sees in God's word. And so we look into this mirror of the soul and we see whether or not we're being obedient to God's commands or whether we ignore them and don't find them to be an important part of one's life. We should use it regularly. We should use God's mirror frequently. It is important that we do so. The psalmist pictures for us a beautiful scene in chapter 1 in the first two verses of the Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. A proper use of God's word. It is important that we look into that mirror of God, that we look upon it on a daily basis, that we meditate upon what is there, so that we can properly apply it to our lives. God's mirror should be used fairly. It should be used honestly. In Acts 17 and verse 11, we read about the Bereans. And it says concerning the Bereans, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They were using the word of God in a way that was fair. They were using it in such a way that they were honestly seeking to see if what was being taught was matching up with what was written in the law. Are you looking into the mirror of the soul? How often do you look into the mirror of the soul and examine the condition of your soul? Is it filthy with sin? Is there a smudge of dishonesty? Is there the appearance of immodesty, of lukewarmness in serving the Lord? It will show you for who you really are. It will show you whether or not you're an alien sinner, whether or not you have done what God has commanded, whether or not you have followed His plan to become a child of God. That is, that you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God based upon the evidence that's revealed in the pages of God's Word. You must be willing to repent of your sins. Confess that you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. Look into the mirror. Look into God's mirror. Have you obeyed those words? To the unfaithful child of God, it is important that you make sure that you correct that which is sinful in your life, that which has brought reproach, that which is of a public nature, that you repent of those sins, confess them, and pray to God for forgiveness. If they're private in nature, do that in private with God, your Heavenly Father. Does the Spirit, or does this mirror of God show you to be a faithful Christian? Does it show you to be one who diligently and faithfully attends the worship service, who is ready and willing to be a worker in the kingdom of God, to do all that you possibly can in serving Him? Does it reflect that that is your attitude and your disposition? Are you a self-examining child of God? Are you willing to examine your life in light of the Scriptures and make application? Be obedient to it. Do what you should. Be a doer of the work of God. Be a doer. Be obedient. And you can be pleasing in God's sight. The mirror of God. The mirror of the soul. Searches deep, motivates, moves, and causes one to, if applied to their lives, to to have a love for God and His Word, a love for His Son, and a love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful thing, something that we all need to be looking into on a daily basis. As you look at your life in the mirror of the soul that God has provided, are you ready to stand before Him in the day of judgment? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you remaining faithful in serving Him and living and conducting yourself in such a way that's pleasing to Him and brings glory and honor to God?